Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM WCLK.
Coming up on this week's edition of Upfront, life coach, author, and new thought leader, Iyanla VanZant is here to chat about the final season of her award-winning series, Iyanla Fix My Life, debuting tonight at 9 p.m. on OWN. Singer-songwriter Lamont Dozier Jr. is here to chat about his new singles, his father's musical legacy, and his fondest memories of the Motown sound. And finally, AFCA member and author Rhonda Penrice is back to discuss Nat Geo's new original documentary series, City So Real, which chronicles Chicago's 2019 mayoral race and puts a spotlight on a number of issues plaguing the Windy City. We'll also be playing music from Lamont Dozier Jr. all throughout the show, but first, here's Reva Blue with this week's casting buzz and entertainment news.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
CL Casting is looking for an African-American male with stand-in experience for the upcoming Jamie Foxx feature film. The actor must be available to work from the end of November to mid-February. If this is you, please submit your name, age, height, weight, phone number, experience, and three clear photos to extras at roselockcasting.com. That's extras at R-O-S-E-L-O-C-K-E. casting.com with 59AA stand-in in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, MGM Studios is delaying the premiere of the highly anticipated Aretha Franklin biopic, Respect, starring Jennifer Hudson. The film was scheduled to be released January 2021, but now has been pushed back to August 13th. The film chronicles the rise of the Queen of Soul and features Hudson alongside Marlon Wayans, Mary J. Blige, Forest Whitaker, Titus Burgess, and Atlanta's own Brenda Nicole Mora. Portions of the film were shot last fall in various parts of Atlanta, including Tyler Perry Studios. Go to WCLK.com to watch the film's official trailer. And finally, the African American Film Critics Association presents a roundtable discussion with four directors of color behind the lens of such horror films as Black Box, The Lie, Evil Eye, and Nocturne. These projects are all released by Blumhouse for Amazon Prime and are available for your viewing pleasure this Halloween weekend. Go to WCLK.com to watch the conversation. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
Support for WCLK programming comes with Morehouse Healthcare. Starting in November, the Morehouse Healthcare Comprehensive Family Healthcare Center is moving from East Point to 455 Lee Street, right off I-20, and just blocks from the West End MARTA station. The center offers primary care from family doctors, plus healthcare specialties such as radiology, cardiology, and OBGYN services. More information is available at 404-752-1000 or online at morehousehealthcare.com.
I guess you wonder where I've been. I searched to find the love within. I came back to let you know, girl, got a thing for you and I can't let go.
Hi, this is Iyanla VanZant, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
I am my mother's child. She's so aggressive.
Just like me.
Just like me.
Be willing to hear the truth.
That is not the truth.
That is their truth.
All three of your children have issues with you.
Why couldn't you just love me?
I ain't willing to deal with this lady. I'm out.
You don't know what the process is.
The process.
Iyanla Fix My Life, 2-hour season premiere Saturday, October 31st, 9/8 Central.
You just heard the trailer promoting tonight's 2-hour season premiere of OWN's hit series, Iyanla Fix My Life. The episode features Love & Hip Hop Miami reality star Shay Johnson as she and her two brothers face their mother in a fierce battle of past rights and wrongs. The series was in the midst of production earlier this year when the coronavirus pandemic brought everything to a screeching halt. However, taping resumed at the end of the summer, along with a new set of rules that have been quite a challenge for Dr. Van Zandt.
Oh, yes. Well, we started shooting back in January, and we were shut down from January to August. So that was it. So we had cast all of our stories and we had all of our guests, but that shifted after the pandemic, after the shutdown, you know, we lost a lot of guests. And then on the set, you know, there's so many places we can't go. We have to stay in the house. We can't get permits to be in certain places because of the shutdown orders. All my crew is masked. I'm the only person. Me and the guests are the only people on the set who aren't masked because we can't, you know, speak and go through the process masked. And then for me, the biggest thing is I can't touch the guests. I can't touch the guests. And I forget, you know? And so I reach out and I hug them and then I'm like, oh, get away. Distance yourself from me. The other thing that's really challenging about this show is that we get tested every week and they come and they stick that thing up your brain. Oh. And the guests get tested before they leave their home and when they get to set, and they're quarantined for 3 days before they come on set. So I just wanted to add that.
Dr. Van Zandt also discussed what her longtime fans can expect to see throughout this final season of Fix My Life.
You know, I salute and honor each and every guest that comes forward to tell their story out loud. Imagine, most people sleep with people they don't tell the truth to. And so these people are coming to me, a stranger, in front of a national audience to tell the deepest, darkest, most intimate issues of their life. And they had to have a swab stuck up their nose to be able to do it. So, I you know, I can't say there's a favorite issue. What I can say is that there are very compelling issues. Like, we deal with adoption this season. We deal with, you know, just the massive breakdowns that have occurred in families and relationships as a result of the pandemic, as a result of the shutdown. So we're dealing with some very compelling issues this season.
In addition to addressing and healing problems in the lives of everyday people, Dr. Van Zandt also expressed that there are two issues facing the public at large that she'd love to tackle on a different platform.
Well, I think in general is two things. One would be the depth of againstness. The depth of againstness. Oh my God, red against blue, white against black, you know, poor against rich. It's just the depth of againstness, particularly in the political arena where we've been reduced to Republicans and Democrats. Never mind that we're hungry. Never mind that people don't have jobs. Never mind that people are getting evicted. It's what is being done for this side or that side by this side or that side. So that's one thing. And the other thing is, I would love to just have a platform to speak about the importance of telling the truth, knowing the truth, speaking the truth, hearing the truth, particularly as it relates to systemic racism. I can't believe that people don't recognize that there's systemic racism. It's just mind-boggling to me. So those would be the two things, truth and againstness and dealing with the issue of systemic racism.
Iyanla Fix My Life airs tonight at 9 p.m. on the Oprah Winfrey Network, OWN.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the High Museum of Art, presenting an exhibition of work by artist Julie Maritou beginning Saturday, October the 24th. The exhibition is the first survey of Maritou's paintings, drawings, and prints. The public is also invited to a virtual conversation with the artist on October the 22nd. Tickets are required and available at high.org.
Baby, it's been so long since I held you in my arms. Yeah. So as soon as the place is-
Hi, this is Cece Winans, and you're listening to Upfront, hosted by Ray Cornelius.
You just heard a snippet of I'm Gonna Take My Time from singer-songwriter Lamont Dozier Jr. The son of legendary Motown songwriter Lamont Dozier of Holland Dozier Holland is finally stepping into the spotlight after years of being in the shadows of some of music's biggest stars. That single is just one of many songs that Lamont has released in the last few months, along with some covers of classic tunes. Check out a portion of our conversation. Lamont Dozier Jr., welcome to Upfront. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great, Ray. How are you guys doing down there in Atlanta?
I'm so excited and so happy to have you on the show. As I was talking to you offline, I had been receiving correspondence from Tom, your publicist, and he was like, yo, you've got to feature my guy. You got to feature my guy. And was driving my mom around, listening, of course, to the new Urban Jazz Lounge here on WCLK that's hosted by our good friend Bob Baldwin.
Oh,
and
yeah.
In your name, he said, I'm going to play a new cut from Lamont Dozier Jr. I was like, I've heard that. I was like, ah, Tom's artist. So I went back and I said, Tom, let's set up, let's do it. And just realized that, oh my gosh, you come from music royalty, the Motown sound, your father, of course, the name. And yes. I was like, okay, we've got to talk to this guy. And we're going to get to your father, but let's talk about your music. We open up this segment with your song, I'm Gonna Take My Time. Love it. And I believe that this is your time. That's why we started.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ray.
Let's talk about the inspiration behind that, if we can.
Oh, it was great. It's my first foray, if you could say, being a recording artist. I've recorded for other artists and done things on their albums and had a great time doing that. But then I said, you know, now is the time for me to come out and do my own thing. I had been around Los Angeles for 14 years just performing with my band and doing session work and stuff like that. And it just comes a time for when you know as a performer that it's time for you to step out front and do some things, and you do have something to offer. And so I just wanted to share the world the fact that I'm a singer-songwriter in my own right. And I wanted to give them something really groovy. I'm an R&B soul guy head anyway, so I just wanted to give them some of that 90s little R&B. And I think we accomplished that with I'm Going to Take My Time. It's kind of, the sound reminds me of the 90s R&B, but at time it's still current, you know? So I'm just digging it. It's about a guy being away from the one he loves and trying to get back to that. And that's perfect for now, because some people are separated with this COVID situation going on. But, you know, it tells a story about getting back to the ones you love. And then as hectic as life can be, once you get back there, you're going to love them up. So that's the story behind I'm Going to Take My Time, for sure.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the 90s. That did take me back to Soft Notes. I don't know if you remember that show. Oh, yeah. On TV.
I was in Atlanta in the 90s. Yeah.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the cover that you did of your dad's classic tune, Why Can't We Be Lovers? Let's talk about that one.
Well, some of your audience may recognize that from his 1972 Invictus release. He did it with the Holland Brothers, and they formed Invictus label after they left Motown. And one of the hit R&B soul songs they had was Why Can't We Be Lovers, and it turned out to be like an underground classic for them. And I picked this one not only because it was one of my favorites, but because my dad sings lead on that tune. So I said, years gone by, to bring it up to speed, to make a long story short, you know, I said, people been asking me, why don't you cover some of your dad's stuff? They would see me perform in Los Angeles, and then they said, man, you need to cover Fish Ain't Biting. You need to cover Why Can't We Be, you know, some of their favorites, going back to my roots. And then I said, man, you know what? I'm going to start out with Why Can't We Be Lovers, because I really like that one. And so we did. We went in 2018. We cut it. I told my producer, Kevin Flournoy, I said, man, you listen, I don't want it to be an exact ripoff of the original, but I do want it to be updated for 2020 and 2021. And so he said, no problem, man. Let's go in here and make it funky, do some things, we'll make some changes. But it harkens back to the original, but it's my own little flow too. So that's how we came up with Why Can't We Be Lovers.
Sometimes I feel like there's no use in trying. Why can't I face the fact that we've lost what we never get?
Let's talk about your stay here in Atlanta, because you actually spent some time in the ATL before you finally landed in Los Angeles. So what did you enjoy the most about living here?
Oh, it was so beautiful and The accessibility is a beautiful town, man. You know, I love the greenery. I love, we had a lot of fun down there, made a lot of friends when I was living down there. I was down there from 93 to 99. And I didn't do a whole lot of music. I did meet some musicians down there and very good guys. And I was affiliated. I knew some guys from the hip hop scene that was getting strong there with Outkast and all different ones in the studios and what have you. And I did cut some demos and things down there. But then I was, at the time, I was working for Bank of America doing some corporate work and everything. And but I really enjoyed my time down there. I got married down there with my wife, man. You know, Atlanta's always going to be that kind of special, reminiscent kind of thing for me. And we're still kicking it together. So I'm loving that. But I just love, you know, coming by there. And I would love to come back and entertain there, too, because it just has a good vibe. It's always been really cool and laid back. And I know you guys love your R&B and your soul, along with your hip hop and all that other hot stuff. So, you know, I can't wait to get back.
Hello, it's me. Too much, but something's wrong. There's something here that doesn't last too long.
We just heard a snippet of your remake of the classic tune "Hello, It's Me," and that's one of my personal favorites. What made you decide to remake that one?
Well, it's a story behind that one. When I first started dating my wife, and this was before we got married, we didn't know that we liked the same type of music. Some things that we just knew that were basic, you know, and everything like that. But then I was really digging the original version with Todd Rundgren. And, you know, my musical affiliation goes from different genres, man. I like a little rock, soul, funk, everything, classical. And so does she. And come to find out, you know, I believe we were just driving somewhere and "Hello, It's Me" came on and I started singing it. And she said, "You know that song?" She said, I was the only one that knew that song. I said, "No, man, this is one of my favorites. You know, I'm an old classic rock head, you know, too." And so she was like, "I love this song." And I said, "Well, one day when I'm in a position, I'm going to cover this song because it's been one of my all time favorites too." And that's what we did, and it was so great. She was in the studio listening to it all come together with the strings and the whole bit, and she said, "You know something, I love the original, but I love what you brought to it, your flavor, and you kind of crooning a little bit, because I love to croon when I'm doing my thing." And so that's how "Hello, It's Me" came back. And it's really ironic because I believe in 2017, 2018, the original songwriter, singer, Todd Rundgren, he did some work with my dad in Nashville, and he covered one of my dad's songs. And I just found out about it as I was cutting "Hello, It's Me." He cut one of my dad's Motown hits, and then I said, "Well, I'm throwing the favor right back at him, man." But I love that song. It's been one of mine for decades. And it's one of those things, you know, I don't like to cover stuff if I can't do it right. So I think we did a good job on it. I hope your audience enjoys it. And yeah, it's one of my favorites, man. I love it.
Go to WCLK.com and check out the rest of my conversation with Lamont Dozier Jr., where he talks about his other songs, his father's influence on his career, and his fondest memories of Motown's biggest stars.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Academy Theater in the Park and its fall series of outdoor performances at Jess Lucas Teen Park in downtown Hayteville. Sunday, October 18th is Western Day, featuring Back in the Saddle Band, beginning at 4:30 p.m. Friday, November 6th is the City Gate Dance Theater and Giyuan Mada All Sister Dance at 7 p.m. Percussion and Vocal Ensemble is Saturday, November 7th at 7 p.m. More information is available at 404-474-8332.
What is necessary for Chicago is a vision, actual solutions for the issues we face.
Lori Lightfoot senses a late surge and has won the endorsement of progressives.
It is a breeding ground for corruption.
What do we do?
Shut it down!
That happens every time one of them get killed. They riot.
It breaks my heart. I got a room full of beautiful black children and they're all trying to get out.
That was a portion of the trailer for National Geographic's new original documentary, City So Real, that debuted Thursday evening. The film chronicles Chicago's 2019 mayoral race, as well as a number of issues facing the famous Windy City. AFCA member, author, and Chicago native Rhonda Penn Rice is back to chat about the film and its relatable message for all viewers.
One of the things that will be a revelation to people is how fiercely vocal Black people are in Chicago, because I think that when you watch the national news, you get the sense that we're apathetic and passive, and anybody that it really knows Chicago knows that that's impossible, that Black people speak up and they speak out. I think that I hope that enough people will get to watch it when it's now on Hulu. So because it's important for people to understand Rahm Emanuel's standing within the city of Chicago, which is not good, despite, you know, what his position at ABC and his favorite guest status on a lot of political shows is. And I think that one of the most valuable things in this doc was showing the process of how one gets on the ballot for mayor. I found that especially eye-opening. And the like how it's just political from the very, very beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. I had never heard of that process, this whole idea of you know, trying to get someone eliminated or trying to eliminate, they have to get so many signatures in order for them to even be placed on the ballot. Is that kind of, because it was really confusing to me.
Well, I mean, I can't lie and say that this is a process that I am familiar with, but essentially, I mean, although you have kind of indirectly participated in it, because I know that I have been asked at different times to sign a petition for someone. So you go and basically hit the streets and get people to put their name and address down to support you being able to run. And so what they show in City So Real is that other candidates can challenge your signatures, and they keep you from the threshold of you know, achieving that. And with Lori Mayor Lightfoot, they did try, but she had so many thousands of votes in excess. Well, actually, I shouldn't even tell you that. That's a spoiler. Because although you do know the outcome, you don't know the process. And that's one of the things that's kind of interesting here. And also, I've had an article that's on Zora in regards to the hip hop influence on the hip hop's political influence, and City So Real was enlightening in that way, because you get to meet Amara Nia, who was backed by both Kanye West and Chance the Rapper, and so she remains a go-to person in regards to what's going on in Chicago, and so you directly see how, you know, hip hop has had a political influence there. Not that she wasn't doing things before, because that's why they were attracted to her, but to see that, you know, these, I mean, rappers really are getting down and dirty in grassroots, you know, politics and so forth. So there's a lot that you can gain from it, you know, as a Chicagoan. Of course, we would want more, but for the national audience, I really do think it serves them well.
Absolutely. Also in City So Real is the coronavirus. The taping and the filming kept going even in the midst of the pandemic. And it was really interesting to see how thriving and just how bright and colorful and everything was just, you know, there was so much movement in the first four episodes. But when you get to episode five, and the city is at a standstill because of this coronavirus, you really get to see a different side of Chicago that you didn't get to see in those first four episodes.
Yeah, and it's in contrast to Georgia. I was home in July, and it's like in Atlanta, you go and maybe some people will have masks. I mean, and some people wouldn't. Now it's more universal when you go in a store because all the stores require them. But when I went to Chicago, people had masks everywhere, and you couldn't go into government buildings without them. And so you just that was a stark contrast to what was happening, you know, in Atlanta and Georgia at the time. And so, I mean, coronavirus is something to be taken seriously. I mean, in the beginning, Chicago, the Black community in Chicago was among the highest hit and had the highest death rates. And so, you know, it's just a challenge going forward. One of the things that they also kind of touched on was the civil unrest and the protests going on in response, not just specifically to George Floyd.
But also Laquan McDonald.
Yeah, Laquan McDonald. And Laquan McDonald is the first instance ever where a police officer is actually sent to prison for killing an unarmed person. So, although they tried to say he had a knife or something, but they shot him in the back. And those 16 shots, especially when Maze does that and just plays shots, that's very, very powerful. And it's the decision. Laquan McDonald is why Rahm Emanuel dropped out and did not run again in Chicago. And then when you get to see the Bud Billiken Day Parade, and, you know, this is our, oh my gosh, this is like everything to Black people in Chicago, the Bud Billiken Day Parade. It's been going since the late 1920s, and only Corona, you know, shut it down. And so when you see people out there, you know, reminding you of Rahm and his record, and that was early, like that response is one of the reasons why he didn't continue. And so, I mean, and you know, but you, like you said, we didn't have that opportunity. So we don't see this year what the pulse is in a public mass way about, you know, what's going on in the country. So we will see what will happen going forward, because, you know, at some point we're not going to be able to stay in denial about this virus. And with, you know, places like Germany and France preparing to shut down all over again, we just don't know. It's scary. And I think that City So Real kind of just gives you, in that fifth episode, the uncertainty of the future.
Yeah. I said in my editorial piece that's available for our listeners on WCLK.com, it's a visual of what between a rock and a hard place looks like. It really is. But I think the silver lining is there are some places of solace that you get to see that people have either found during this time or they've created during this time. So I appreciate that. Rhonda Penrice, thank you so much for being a guest today on Upfront. City So Real is available now on Hulu.
Listen to the full conversation with Rhonda Penrice about City So Real at WCLK.com. Well, that'll do it for this week's show. I'd like to thank all of my special guests, Dr. Ianla Van Zandt, Rhonda Penrice, and Lamont Dozier Jr. I'd also like to thank our engineer, Jami Wellman, and the voice of Casting Buzz and Entertainment News, Ms. Reva Blue. Please join us next week for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. Happy Saturday, everyone.
If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.